Well, good evening, Potter's Foursquare Church. Hope all is going well. It's Pastor Greg coming to you from my home. It is our continuing study in the book of Matthew. Tonight we should be having our home fellowships, but I am sad to announce that our midweek home fellowships have been put on hold. Our Sunday services have been put on hold. Our Governor Newsom has provided us with his new restrictions for churches and the guidelines, and singing has been banned in churches, in synagogues, and in other religious institutions for the foreseeable future. And so rather than going back and forth, I think what we have decided to do, what I've decided to do, is to, after speaking with Paula, obviously, is to go back to having home fellowships on Sundays. Hopefully we'll have the same home fellowships. I know that Gracie and Daniel's home fellowship will be merging with mine, and due to the fact that she's with child. And so we'll probably do this through the summer, I would imagine. I don't see us going back in church without the ability to sing. And, you know, guys, as your pastor, I realize there may be some people that are upset about this decision, but I simply cannot put the church through meeting but not being able to worship and not being able to sing. I think it's so critical to what is important to us that I just cannot see us not doing that. And we can do it in homes, and that's why we instituted the home fellowships in the first place. So I suspect that it'll be this way throughout the summer. We will have our normal church home fellowships on Sundays going through the book of Matthew. Now, we are going to make a change because I still want to have something midweek. And so I think what I'm going to do, well, I know what I'm going to do, is teach on creation on Wednesday nights. And we will have a Bible study on Wednesday nights without the worship. I may sing a few songs, but that doesn't mean that you're allowed to sing. I can be socially distanced away from you. So I think we can have music, but just not corporate singing. And so, the focus of Wednesday nights will be more of a Bible study based on creation, which we will be studying. So again, there is no home fellowship tonight, which is today's the 8th of July, and we will resume our home fellowships on Sundays, and a week from today we'll be at church for a midweek Bible study on creation. So tonight we're going to be studying the ministry of deliverance, and that's where we find ourselves in Matthew chapter 8. But before we get to our text, I just kind of want to introduce the topic here. This is when Jesus begins to, after the Sermon on the Mount, when he begins to go throughout and do a lot of parables and a lot of healings, specific healings. And again, the healings can be taught from the standpoint of being redundant, but I believe that each healing has a different set of circumstances behind it, and tonight's is no different. So deliverance is defined as a rescue from bondage or danger. That's what the biblical definition is. And in the Bible, you know, it's the acts of God whereby he, you know, rescues his people that are in peril or from trouble. And in the Old Testament, deliverance was, you know, its primary focus was on God's removal of those who were in the midst of trouble or danger, right? So in the Old Testament, he rescues people from their enemies, for Samuel, from the hand of the wicked, Psalm 7. He, you know, preserves them from famine, Psalm 33. He preserves them from death, Psalm 22. He preserves them from the grave, Psalm 56. The most striking example of deliverance, obviously, is in the book of Exodus when he saves them from Egypt. In the New Testament, God is always the subject of the deliverance, and in his people, you know, are always the object of deliverance. God is the subject and the people are the object. The deliverance in the Old Testament, it sort of serves as a symbolic example of the spiritual deliverance that we have from sin, right? So, the Lord offers deliverance from mankind's greatest peril, and that is sin. And he does that through the death and resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ. And because of that, we've been delivered from judgment as well, which I think is an amazing thing. If we look at God's power and believers we're delivered from, you know, obviously, number one, this present age, according to Galatians chapter 1. We're delivered from the power of Satan, Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. And that's an amazing thing. And so I just wanted to make sure that we establish what the definition of deliverance was as we go into Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 through 17, when Jesus does really two miracles here, the miracle of healing and the miracle of delivering people from spiritual bondage. So without any further ado, our text, Matthew chapter 8, verse 14 through 17, out of the NIV, it says, when Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. When the evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with the word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what the prophet was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and he bore our diseases. That particular text is a direct quote from Isaiah 53. So let's talk about some observations tonight. Well, it's funny because Jesus, in this particular healing, even though we have healings that are recorded where Jesus is asked or called upon or called out to heal, in this particular instance, like the centurion called him out, as we studied last week, in this particular instance, Jesus was not asked to heal Peter's mother-in-law. He simply walked into the room and he saw her there, and it was intentional what he did. He saw his mother and she was laying in the sick bed, and he was moved with compassion to do something. And so again, when we study these healings, guys, there's, you know, it's great to point out not only how Jesus healed, but why he healed and what made him heal. And in some instances, what makes him heal is, again, there he's called upon her. It's a request. But this is a cool healing in that, you know, he goes into the house probably for rest, I would imagine, after all the ministry that he had been performing, and he sees somebody sick and he doesn't even ask her whether she wants to be healed or not. He simply walks up and puts his hand on her and she's made well. And so the manner of this particular healing was physical touch, right? He didn't command her to be well. It did not come out of his mouth, but he physically touched her and she was healed. The same thing when he healed the man with leprosy. He touched him. In other healings, you know, we see Jesus, he made mud one time. He spit on the ground, made mud, and rubbed it in the eyes. He spoke a healing into existence. He spoke to the storm. He spoke to the centurion. And, you know, and in lots of these cases, he said, your faith has made you well. None of that is present here other than the touch, right? So sometimes, as, you know, something as small as a fever was worthy of his time and concern. And that's something that I want to really point out to the church, because, guys, I think that in these days we suffer from a lot of infirmities. Some, you know, because you don't have cancer, you think, well, you know, I'm not going to raise my hand for prayer because, you know, this is there's people that are really struggling and on their deathbed, and I'm not going to go there. I would encourage you to do something different, because remember, this fever may not have been important to Peter's mother-in-law enough to ask for healing, but Jesus was aware of it. And even though it was a small matter, it's a fever, right? It was worthy of his time and concern. He walks up and he wants to deal with it. And it was an immediate healing. And her response was she got up and started serving, right? And I think that's something that we need to really look at, and that it's important, because, you know, it's these little things that keep us from doing what God would have us do. Like we're not feeling well, or we're just, you know, exhausted and sort of running out of energy. We need to go to God. The Bible says, make every request known to him. And I think, guys, that so many times we leave things on the table when it comes to our relationship with the Lord, and that we're not really fully opening up ourselves to him, and we're not really just laying out all of our need to him. And I think that that is something that is critical. And I think that this is a beautiful example of how something so insignificant as a fever was significant to Jesus. And the payoff here was, you know, she didn't continue laying in bed. She got up and started serving. That means that not only she was healed, but she was inspired as well. So could it be that, you know, the successful healing of Peter's mother-in-law, right, that spread through the region? I think that that's absolutely what happened. Someone in the house was aware, and they ran out into the village and said, man, this guy's here, and he healed Peter's mother-in-law, and there's a miracle service going on. And next thing you know, as evening came, the house is full, right? And, you know, that's funny. When the Spirit of the Lord is moving, people flock to see what all the commotion is about. When the Spirit of the Lord is moving, people want to be around the Spirit of the Lord. People want to be around you know, like my old pastor used to tell me, he wanted to be under the spout where the glory was coming out. And so this deliverance, this driving out of demons that we see here, was significant, and the healing of the sick was a part of deliverance as well. And you say, well, Greg, you know, deliverance is really a spiritual thing when someone's delivered. But, you know, I'll ask you to consider something, that when we're sick, you know, a lot of times the enemy uses that time to really have a struggle spiritually. And I can speak to that right now. As many of you might not know, I don't know if you read the prayers or whatever, I didn't really make an announcement, but last Sunday I had shingles when I started off to my daughter's in Denver. When I started driving, I just didn't feel well, and I had shingles on my head, and it was extremely painful. This is like my fourth bout with them, and you know, it was 2 days of 3 days of just worry and doubt and fear, and I spiritually was not myself. You know, obviously I was there to celebrate my granddaughter's birthday and to see my daughter and my son and to spend time with my family, but I definitely was not myself. And because that's what sickness does to you. It not only has a physical effect, but it has a spiritual effect. And then likewise, when you are struggling with spiritual issues where the enemy is coming after you and you're in need of deliverance, you can suffer both spiritually and physically, right? A lot of people that I've talked to with regard to my condition of shingles, that stress has a lot to do with it. And as you know, I'm stressed out. I'm stressed out about church. I'm stressed out about my job, you know, and laying off people. And it's been a very, very, very difficult season this year. And I've just come off a very, very difficult year losing my son. So you see that deliverance is really about addressing people's needs, both physical and spiritual, right? And remember, again, the spiritual needs cause physical problems, and the physical needs cause spiritual problems. Isaiah 53 is what's referenced here at the end. And, you know, in Isaiah 53, we read about him sharing our sufferings, and he shares in our burdens. And he was the fulfillment of this particular prophecy. And that is important. It's important to note that, you know, Jesus didn't show up on the scene and, oh, I guess I should heal. It was a prophetic word that he would deliver. It was a prophetic word that he would heal, right? So what's the lesson here? What's the lesson? If Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, it's written in our sanctuary, it's written in your Bible, then he is still seeing our need for deliverance, right? If Jesus is the same Jesus that walked into Peter's home and saw Peter's mother-in-law lying there with a fever, then he's the same Jesus today. If he had the ability to heal then, he has the ability to heal now. If he had the heart to heal then, he has the heart to heal now. The second thing is, if Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and he is, then he is still about the business of healing. There is a lot of denominations. There is a lot of people in the Christian church that will try and teach you, that will try and convince you that the ministry of healing stopped with the disciples. And that's just simply not the case. We don't believe that. I've never believed that. I believe that the same healing power that Jesus displayed in the New Testament is available to us because he has promised us. And why would he give us the command, the Great Commission, to go out and do these things unless he was going to empower us to do it? So if he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, then he is all about the business of healing. And that's important for you, and it's important for me. God does not want us to waste time on this earth in a sick bed, right? He wants us to be well. He wants us to ask of him. He wants us to go to him before we go anywhere else, before we do anything. You know, I'm going to share with you sort of a story and what happened to me recently. And this is sort of how God works. And it's an amazing thing. And it's not like a big, huge, miraculous healing, but it in a way, it really was. So I'm thinking, you know, I left on Tuesday morning about 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, and with my kids, and we got in my Jeep and we took off. And, you know, I got right around into Utah, where we were meeting up with my daughter and my son and my grandkids to all of us. We're going to drive from there to Colorado to see my daughter, Lindsay. I started feeling bad. My joints started hurting. I started having headaches. And I'm thinking, oh man, now I have this coronavirus, I bet. And that's what I thought it was. And so I'm driving a little bit more and my head really started hurting and my joints really started hurting. And I just started thinking, you know, this is not good. And so got there Tuesday night and thought, well, you know, we've been on the road for 18 hours and maybe I'm just swollen and maybe I'm just not feeling good because the altitude, because when you drive through to Colorado, you get up to about almost 11,000 feet in elevation, and that has a negative effect on me. I don't do well in altitude. So I got to the hotel, and I thought, I'll sleep it off. And I woke up in the morning, and I felt terrible. And that was Wednesday, and Wednesday was a bad day. Thursday was a bad day. And so Thursday night, we went back to the hotel because we had to leave early Friday morning, and I left a pair of pants at my daughter's house, my daughter Lindsay, that she had washed for me, and said, Dad, I'm going to come over and bring you your pants that you forgot. And I said, okay. So I'm laying in bed in the hotel room, and my daughter comes in, brings my pants, and she's like, well, let me pray for you. And she prayed, and she prayed this specific prayer to heal, but she also prayed this prayer, Lord, give my dad wisdom as to what this is. Because she knew that I was all over the map as to what it was. I didn't really know. And I said, I got these bumps on my head, and I had her feel them, and I didn't really know. And so then she left, and I was just laying in bed, and I said, Lord, I really need wisdom, because I'm spending more time stressing out over this than anything. So I got up the next morning at 3 o'clock, and the kids jumped in the Jeep. We took off, and we're going through the Rockies, and you know, I'm feeling around my head while I'm driving. And finally, it occurred to me, I've had this pain before, but I had it on my torso last time, and I'm like, you know what? I bet this is shingles. So immediately I called my wife, and I explained to her what was going on, and I told her what, you know, and she goes, yeah, I bet that's what it was. I got home, and, you know, she took a look at it, and I was able to get medication that Friday night when I got home and started the regimen and feeling better, a little bit better every day. But my point is that the spiritual word that was spoken over me was a healing in a way, right? Because what I was really suffering from more than the shingles was this fear and doubt and, oh my gosh, it's a brain tumor. And, you know, when you have lived a life like mine, you automatically go to the absolute worst scenario, right? I mean, it's a good day when I don't have a kid that dies, or it's a good day when I don't have cancer, or I don't have a heart attack, or, you know, all the other trials that I've gone through. So I say all that to say this, you know, God cares about every little thing in your life. Everything. It doesn't matter how small or how big you think it is, he cares about it. So the third point, if Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, then he's still about the business of driving out demons, just like he's about the business of healing. And there's times when we have to drive out demons. And I guarantee you what was harassing me, and I know exactly, because I came back specifically on Friday because we're opening the church on Sunday. We were going to get together. And I know the enemy didn't want any part of that. And I felt terrible on Sunday. It was bad. It was a spiritual attack. It was just, and I looked at my wife. I said, do you think this is spiritual? And she gave me one of those looks like, God, I can't believe how dumb you are. And I don't know, men, if you get that look, but I get it frequently from my wife because... yeah, well, whatever. Anyways, the fourth one is, if Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, then he's able with effortlessly, has this effortlessly authority. And what I mean by that is Jesus is able, and it's just effortless for him. He has this authority where he says, you know, be gone, or he puts a touch on you, or he does whatever he's going to do, and you're healed. You say, well, Greg, you know, he just doesn't work like that. Yes, he still does work like that. It may not be every single time, but he still does work like that. I've seen people that have been healed, and just like Peter's mother-in-law, they got up and started their day and started off doing whatever it is they were doing before, undistracted by anything, right? That's still possible. So how do we apply this? How should you apply it? Well, we go off the Gospel of John in this prayer that Jesus has about him being in us and us being in him and both of us being in the Father, where the, you know, this tight-knit connection. The first thing is, if Jesus is in me and I am in him, I must trust and obey in his ability to heal and deliver, period. If I am part of that prayer, Lord, I want Greg to be in me the way that I am in you. If I'm in and walking in that love of the Lord, then I need to be trusting and obeying his ability to heal and deliver. And I go to him first in all of those things, right? And the second thing is, if Jesus is in me and I am in him, according to John 15, 16, and 17, I must trust and obey his ability to drive out evil in me and in others, that he still has the ability and the authority to do that. And the third one is, if Jesus is in me and I am in him, then I must understand that this promise is eternal and timeless, and it's not subject to when the last apostle died, that all of this power stopped. This power that Jesus released upon the church is available to us today. It's not a issue of dispensation of time. It's what he wants to do today, and it's what he wants to do today in you and in me and in the church. If you're listening online tonight and you've not yet given your life to the Lord, and you hear about all these wonderful things, the delivering power of Jesus and the healing power of Jesus, I can testify to both. I encourage you to give your life to the Lord. The Bible says that you need to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And if you've prayed that prayer today and you've made that decision, look for the phone number on our website and give us a call so that we may rejoice with you about the great decision that you've made. If you're a normal listener to this particular podcast, I want to pray with you. He has shown you, O man and woman, what the Lord requires of you and of me, that we do justly, that we love mercy, and that we walk humbly with our God. Go do that now. God bless you guys.